The impact of the opioid crisis in the United States can be felt far beyond the mainland. In Puerto Rico, the toll of opioids is significant and growing. In 2017, the island reported more than 600 fentanyl-related overdoses and 60 deaths, a huge jump from 200 overdoses and 8 deaths the year before. Puerto Rico was devastated by Hurricane Maria in the fall of 2017, making the situation far worse for those already struggling with addiction and those at risk for it. Today, officials are worried the situation could reach epidemic levels. Danica Cotto is with the Associated Press, and she's been reporting on this. Danica, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me again.
So let's talk a little bit about how the opioid crisis in Puerto Rico compares to what we're seeing here in the mainland United States.
It's hard to say. I mean, officials believe that it hasn't reached the levels of crisis in the United States. But again, they say that the government is not really counting the number of deaths and overdoses that are occurring on the island. In 2018, through October at least, there were 488 overdoses and 40 deaths. But they say that more than 75 suspected deaths have gone untested because of budget cuts. Part of the problem is that the Forensic Science Institute is unable to conduct toxicology tests because the machine is broken and there's no money to fix it so far. Back in 2016, there were about 200 overdoses and 8 deaths. And there was, in 2017, more than 600 overdoses and 60 deaths. So over the years, they've seen a big spike in not only overdoses, but also deaths.
Are we also talking about, how are we defining opioids here? Are we defining them as OxyContin, or are we including drugs like heroin and other types of drugs that have been affecting the island for decades?
They're including the range of drugs. It's not only fentanyl that is legally produced in Puerto Rico, but also the one that is being manufactured in China and India and then brought over by Mexican cartels, mainly via the Dominican Republic and the Postal Service. So then it's smuggled into Puerto Rico and it's mixed in with heroin and to a lesser degree, cocaine and marijuana as well.
And Puerto Rico is also one of the major sites for pharmaceutical, the U.S. pharmaceutical industry. Do we know if there are any connections there?
At least immediately after the hurricane, there was Hurricane Maria, which hit in September 2017, closed down all the usual smuggling routes that drug dealers use. You know, drug dealers began using fentanyl instead of heroin since fentanyl was locally produced. It was also cheaper and easier to obtain. So that, coupled with the pharmacies waiving prescriptions as a humanitarian gesture, really led to an increase in the use of fentanyl, both the one that was illegally brought to Puerto Rico and the legal one that is produced on the island.
Can you tell us a little bit about the history here of opioids on the island?
Sure. Back in the day, most of the drug addicts were very reliant on heroin, and this was mostly pure heroin. But as the years went by, you know, the cartels discovered the use of fentanyl, and they watered that down. The heroin, they watered it down with fentanyl. It's much cheaper. It's very easy to obtain. And so a lot of drug addicts on the island don't even realize that they're taking this.
Puerto Rico did not apply for millions of dollars that were available in opioid aid from Congress. What was behind that decision?
It depends. If you ask the government, they say that they're very much understaffed and that they do not have enough money to deal with bringing in more employees and helping sort of apply for these grants. The territory did fail to apply for $7.8 million from Congress to help get people into treatment. So as a result of that, the money was divided into among other U.S. states. But the nonprofit organizations here were outraged. They said that they would have applied had they known about this money that was available. They said it's desperately needed, you know, that a lot of people aren't realizing that the numbers are much higher than what the government is reporting. Puerto Rico does already receive about $4.8 million a year for 2 years to help expand medication-assisted treatment. It also links inmates to treatment once they're released and other efforts. That money does come from an earlier grant program that the island applied for, and that was created by the 21st Century Cures Act. And so under that earlier program, there's about 2,214 people that got into treatment.
What are people saying on the island? What are residents saying or addicts telling you that they need, that they're not getting right now, particularly after Hurricane Maria?
A lot of addicts say that they're unaware, at least the ones I interviewed, they said that some of the dealers told them, oh, there's this new product, you know, why don't you try it? A lot of them that I spoke with said they didn't like it, you know, they really felt they were going to die. They mostly feel that they haven't been told about this. You know, it's not like they're willingly going out looking for fentanyl, at least not the ones I spoke with. So it's mostly a matter of education. Nonprofits say that the government isn't really interested in helping, you know, save people's lives, that they're undercounting the number of overdoses and the number of deaths, and that there's just really no interest in helping save people that many say aren't that visible anyway.
That's what I was just going to ask you, Danica, is like, what's the population that we're talking about when it comes to the majority of folks in Puerto Rico who are being affected by the addiction? Are we talking low income, people who are not as involved in social or political circles at this point? Or has the opioid crisis expanded like it has in the United States to affect more and more people who perhaps didn't intend to become addicted but have since fallen to that?
It's across the board. I mean, I think at the beginning, obviously, the most visible group are the addicts. You can see them at stoplights. You can see them, you know, near abandoned buildings, hunched over or, you know, sleeping on the sidewalks. And this is the most visible population. But the DEA says that users now range from teenagers who are raiding their grandmother's medicine cabinet, you know, obtaining or taking legal fentanyl, to adults who have pain issues, who are overprescribed pills, to inmates, you know, seeking a high while in prison. So it's across the board.
What are some of the next steps, Danica?
Legislators keep pushing, you know, for this bill to be approved so that they can allow just regular people to carry naloxone and at least help reverse these overdoses. It's unknown whether the island plans to apply for more grants. You know, there's a lot of austerity measures coming. A lot of agencies have lost employees. They're struggling to keep up with just the basic work. So nonprofits feel that the future's not looking very good.
Danica Cotto is a reporter for the Associated Press. Danica, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.